Today is the 2nd of August 2020, Sunday. So we will continue with the sharing from the book, The Path to Truth, for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner. We are at page 115. The title of the chapter is Inspiring and Guiding Both the Rich and the Poor. So this topic is also quite interesting, because it will explain to us the meaning of the Ciji brand, or why they choose this word as the branding for their organization. Ciji, actually, they consist of two words. Ci is compassion, cipei de ci. Ji is jiuji de ji, crisis. So, compassion in crisis. So that is the meaning. So the title of today's sharing is Inspiring and Guiding Both the Rich and the Poor. So Ciji in Mandarin means compassion and relief. I have explained this earlier on. The word Ci come from these two words, Cipei. Cipei is compassion. So in Mandarin, they take the first word Ci. Then ji come from the word jiu ji, means to relieve suffering during crisis. So compassion during crisis time. So to relieve suffering with compassion during calamity or difficult period. So this what they call abbreviation, or the just now I used that word, I forgot already, the name of the organization that they used. Ciji has deep meaning, so it comprised two words, compassion and relief suffering during crisis. So to exercise compassion, they have this understanding. He said, we need to educate the rich and wealthy people who can afford to donate, and donate generously towards a good cause, so that they can be used as aids or help to provide relief to suffering beings or poor people. So when Ciji was established, their hope was to educate the rich to help the poor. So basically, it's using society's society's group of people who can actually create the balance within to help each other. So there are those who has the capacity to donate generously to help the poor, the needy, and those who are afflicted or affected by nature's disaster. Then I will read on the second paragraph, maybe it will give you more understanding. And adage say, helping people is the foundation of happiness. I believe this is very true. Most people can feel it. You can feel good or happy after helping people. That is the good mind state that normal being will have. So you can give it a try. Whenever you can do something helpful, beneficial to people, even by donating, then you come to know that person you have helped has recovered or has become better. Their life, everything has turned around for the better. You feel good because at least you can play your role to help out. Help out in society, help out humanity that needs help and all these things. So this is a very important understanding. helping people is the foundation of happiness, so you can do more and more of it. You will have more joy, more happiness. You must give it a try, for those who haven't done this. When I was young, I remember, even helping a stray dog, giving them food, dressing them, nursing them. There was so much joy in seeing the dog recover. Then I like to help around, even in my village. Sometimes they are doing certain activity, like in the olden days, you don't have gas and all those things. We have to go and buy our own firewood from the sawmill. And this sawmill, the bits and pieces that they throw away, you still need to truck them back. We got a cart to pull the cart and bring this. They call it their waste that they don't want, but you can go and collect and pay token sum, then you can bring it back. Then after that, we need to saw them into small pieces about 2 feet length. Then we have to chop them into smaller pieces for firewood and other things. So I tend to help out a lot. Then some bigger piece, we need to use the chainsaw to saw them. So when I did that, I feel very good. I also exercise. Then there was joy in me. Then when you are sweating and tired, the owner is so kind, they bring you water to drink. You feel good. Sometimes they make soft drinks. They open up a bottle of F&N. That time was F&N, either sassy or oranges. Then they will serve us who help out, and we have our very nice style of cold drinks. You feel good, relief and all those things. So these are the things that can make you happy if you can help out. Then some people are unwilling to give or do not know how to give. Now this is very true. It is not because they are unkind. Rather, circumstances or the lack of opportunity prevent them from doing so. I believe this is very true. In fact, yesterday night, some of my sister's kids, they also mentioned that they do perform the act of generosity. They do donate, but they find it very difficult to find occasion to donate. So they really have that problem until my daughter and me explained to them to do wholesomeness, to do good is very, very easy. There are a lot of condition and opportunity nowadays. So you don't have to go to certain type of charity organization that you are not sure. So what is they was they told us, they started off with this WWF, UNESCO and all those things. So some of them don't really understand what this organization was. So after we explained, then they start to understand. So now they look at newspaper, they look at other type of media. Then there are many, many aspects of wholesomeness where you can perform your generosity. Even our local charitable organization, especially Buddhist temple, Buddhist societies, and some of these organizations, then even the temple we went to in Cameron Highland, our annual retreat, San Pao Si, the Triple Gem Temple, that place is a source of very fertile ground for generosity. So almost every year, we continue to make donation through our Kayanamita funds to that temple. So this year, although the thing was cancelled, we still send donation offerings. So there are many ways. Even SJBA, they have a lot of charitable projects and organizations and maybe activities. So these are the various possible avenue for you to perform generosity and donate whatever you can afford to donate. Then the various Buddhist organizations or society also do have that. Then you also can donate to school charitable organization. Like there is this De Jiao Hui or moral society where the Chinese culture, they have a lot of all this. So they really do a lot of subsidized goodness. That I heard from my wife. They have volunteers who go there and help people, like treat patients, and they charge very nominal. Even for the medication and all are subsidized. So these are for people who may not afford that type of medical cost. And they can go there and they are quite good. So I read on and we will develop the understanding. Ciji has opened a path to educate the rich to help the poor. So the organization opened up this. It creates opportunity for those who have the materialistic wealth yet feel empty and discontent with life to understand people's suffering. In this way, they can be inspired to bring out their love and contribute their effort. The combined effort of these people can do a lot of good and help many people. And this is very true. Educating the rich means helping the rich become more loving so that they can help others with their strength and resources. In doing so, they are sowing the seed of wisdom that will enable them to grow. Without wisdom, the rich tend to be reluctant to give. So we educate the rich in the hope that they can give sincerely. We are grateful that in Suji, many wealthy entrepreneurs have opened up their heart to give their love and contribute their effort unconditionally. Also, the more responsibility they assume, the more humble they become. Thus, they are truly the rich among the rich. So this is how Ciji did it. Some people have the wrong notion that only rich people can be Ciji volunteers. Actually, many Ciji volunteers are not wealthy. Some are street vendors or blue-collar workers. They come from all walks of life. Although they are not financially well-off, they are spiritually rich. Many work very hard, laboring at odd jobs. Yet they do their best to contribute to Ciji because every bit of their contribution are pooled together to help others. And they are very happy to do so. These people are the rich among the poor. So rich in their heart, in their understanding of how they can contribute to society, to humanity. So for us as Buddhists, we must have this understanding of the law of karma. In fact, the law of karma is very powerful. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you look at this fifth contemplation, the daily contemplation, this statement, we realize karma is so important. It plays such a great role. In fact, our entire life depends on karma because we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And every moment, every instant, we are what we are because of it. So we really need to take care of karma. Then when we take care of karma means whatever you do in life, whether it's through action, speech or thought, even generosity, when you give, it doesn't mean you give to others. The law of karma say whatever you do to people will come back to you. You reap what you sow. So whatever you give, you actually give to your karmic nature. And you will receive it back. And you understand this, you will never do evil. You will always have this faith in you, understanding in you. Never commit evil, never break your precept, never do foolish things, heedless things, selfish things, deluded things. Never become angry, emotional and violent. These are evil roots, suffering mental states. When you arise them, you become evil. Karmically, you will fall. Then when the fruition come, people will do the same to you. The way you get angry with people, the way you cheat people, deceive people, take advantage of people, cause suffering and misery to people. The law of karma is you reap what you sow. So in future life, you become the victim and people do all this back to you. If that is not what you want in life, you better wake up to this understanding, this right view with regards to law of karma. Never do anything out to anybody that you don't like people do to you. So this understanding is the basis for cultivation. This is what the law of karma is all about. Karma niyama. If you want to have good life, be good to people, be kind to people, be generous to people. When you have all this virtue, goodness, kindness, generosity, your life will be good. I always say, if you want to have the good life, be kind, be generous, be virtuous and wholesome. Because all these are good mind states that bring forth the good karma, the good fruition. When you keep your precept, when you have goodness, you protect yourself and you protect others. Because by having all this, you will not commit negativity or karma because you are virtuous, you have goodness, you have kindness. That's why they say if your heart is kind, generous, and good by nature, then your life will be good. You take care of karma, karma take care of your life. To take care of karma is to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. How to avoid all evil? To have goodness, to have kindness, to develop virtuous thought, to act virtuously, to speak gently, politely, pleasantly, and also kindly, with appropriate understanding and wisdom, so that it can bring about happiness, joy, and help people to relieve their suffering and misery. So all this is the basis of cultivation. When we cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, all this will come back to us as our coming inheritance. Then people will help us. People will be generous to us, kind to us. People will support us in whatever way we have done to people. So all this is what law of karma is about. You reap what you sow. So understanding this is the beginning of cultivation, basis of cultivation. If we want our life to change for the better, we don't have to waste time on feng shui, fortune telling, or do all those rite and ritual, believe what those deluded people tell you. You don't have to go through all that. You cultivate the Dhamma with understanding, and this is free. No need to pay anything. No need to do all those rite and ritual and feng shui thing. What you need is to take care of karma, have goodness, have wholesomeness, kindness, be virtuous. So this is the basis of cultivation. So when you understand this, you realize you can help out in organization that need your help, like charitable organization, especially Tsuji or any organization. It could be SJPA Buddhist Center or any of these temple who genuinely have good activity, yeah, that is to help society, humanity, and relieve suffering. So you can provide service, or you can help out in whatever manner or form that you are able to. Sometimes if you are a professional, maybe you have medical degree, or as a nurse, you have your experience and skill as medical personnel. But these are the people they need, that you can provide counseling, mental support through understanding, or you can just help out as an ordinary Tsuji volunteer to do recycling, to maybe participate in some of their charitable project or activity. I've seen quite a number of kilometers joining the Tsuji group. Well, every time they start day, I go around, I will see them. And sometimes when there is crisis somewhere or what, I tend to see them. Like our COVID-19 also recently. We saw Christina going around to help all those that really in need. There was an occasion where there was a, I think, foreigner, I think, married, have a child. So they were out of job. And the Tsuji relief came in very handy. They say he was waiting for help and assistance to pay part of the rental of their maybe shelter, and also buy milk powder for the child, then their own subsistence and all those things. So these are really truly needy people. When we have the good life, we may not know about this, we may overlook this, but you have the opportunity to come into contact with these people who are helping out. Then especially as our Kayamita group, we have this sharing of information through our My Kayamita WhatsApp. Then we tend to receive all this news. Then you see whatever role you can play, and if you really want to join them or what, you can call up some of the Kayamita. I think Yun Chan also is helping out involved. Then Christina, and I think many others. This is just to name a few. Then my brothers and sisters, they are in Alostar, they are also helping out in a big way. So this is one of the organizations that really I saw activity being done. And they are in a way quite genuine in that sense. But of course, I do hear about controversy, but don't worry. This one is what people say, and people who may not understand because of certain incidences and circumstances, they came to that conclusion. But don't worry, try not to like say negative things unless you are very sure. Even if you are very sure, try to avoid division and misunderstanding. Yeah, there may be a reason for certain things. What is more important is the result of what they have done overall. Does it bring about relief suffering? Because in every organization or profession, it has its own black sheep. So you can never be perfect in everything. So black sheeps tend to be around, even the legal fraternity profession. They also have certain lawyers that are not ethical. Then there are also medical practitioners who may not be the professional type. Then even accountants, engineers, and the various type of profession, They have their own black sheep, although not that many, but they do exist. So when you encounter all this in society, you must have wisdom. You must develop the understanding not to create unnecessary division and misunderstanding. Try to have goodness, kindness, understanding to resolve misunderstanding. Then you just move on and rejoice with whatever goodness and wholesomeness. Okay, we will continue. Okay. 自己 volunteers train their mind to doing 自己 work. Helping the poor is one method of cultivation. See, they treat this as a cultivation. Although all material things are illusion, composed of the four elements, without material supply, how can we help those in distress, in poverty, or in illness, let alone save and transform them spiritually? So this particular sentence, I think I must help clarify a bit, otherwise people become quite confused. Because when you cultivate the Dhamma, the spiritual cultivation, then your understanding may tend towards the unconditioned, the realization of very profound truth. Then if you quote this truth without understanding, you will end up in the opposite duality, because that is the wrong understanding of Dhamma. Like here, they mention this, although all material things are illusion, they are not illusion actually. It doesn't mean you cannot have, you can own, but you cannot attach. It's the user of that materialistic thing. So this materialistic are not illusion. I remember in the early days, some of my classmates who know that I am very spiritual and I cultivate a lot, and they used to joke, no? They say Buddhism talk about emptiness, no? Everything is empty, not real, no? Then one of them say, hey, Tio, give me your money. They are not real, empty. So I laugh and I explain to them, I say, that is not the right way to understand Buddhism. Emptiness is for something else. Emptiness means ultimately is empty, no reality. But materialistic thing like wealth and all those things, if you have earned it the proper way, if it arises through proper nature's condition, then you are blessed. That is your merit, your wholesomeness. You are blessed to receive it. Then use it with understanding for the good of the many, to help yourself, to help your family members, your loved ones, and society, humanity, and others. So it depends on the user. The user of this wealth, if it has wisdom and understanding, then it's not an illusion, because life itself has its own reality within the existential world. But within the unconditioned, yes, he know you, he know me. But there is a very profound understanding of the unconditioned. And you cannot contradict the two, because you need the understanding or wisdom of both the unconditioned and the conditioned to understand life completely, so that you know how to live. So if you don't know all this, then you become very confused, because the conditioned world has its own reality. The unconditioned also has its own reality. The unconditioned wisdom is to help you free your mind so that you don't get yourself entangled with the conditioned world's existence and life. So all this within the unconditioned may not be real. maybe empty and all things. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as the law of karma. Because within the conditioned world, duality exists. The law of karma exists. Form and mind as a human being exists. Within the law of karma is as real as it can be. That's why when the Buddha say when we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of karma, it is referring to our form and mind. Otherwise, you will be very confused. Because the Buddha say non-self, anatta, he know you, he know me. Then how come there is a you that is born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma? So you will be very confused. But the Buddha is very clear. He never contradicts himself. What he taught was perfectly in harmony with the understanding. So when he is referring to your form and mind, that is subject to karma, that one recognizes relationship. That one really recognizes life and existence. So within the conditioned world, there is Dhamma, there is duality, there is law of karma, there is human being, living being. All this exists. And they are as real as they can be. Even though in the unconditioned ultimate sense, he know you, he know me. Everything is not what you think. And that is the unconditioned wisdom. So what the Dhamma is trying to teach you is you can have all these things, wealth, whatever materialistic possession, even your reputation, your status or whatever. You can have them. You can own them, but do not be deceived and deluded by them. The Buddha's advice is not to attach and cling, because ultimately they are all dependent originating phenomena, condition arising causal phenomena, empty in nature. Means they exhibit the universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering when you attach, cling, crave, and want things your way, which is not nature's way. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, so you use it to do your duty, to live the good life, to cultivate, to fulfill your vow, and whatever, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And that is as real as can be, even though within the moment, and moment to moment, that is the only reality in life. But there is such thing as life, existence, and you can live the good life, the happy life. Life can be meaningful, wonderful. So all this understanding is very, very important. When you have the understanding of both the unconditioned and the conditioned, you can fit in. And you can understand life completely. Otherwise, you become one-sided. You create your own delusion, duality. And you contradict yourself, thinking that you are very smart or very wise. So this part I go through again. When they say, although all materialistic things are illusion composed of the four elements, without material supply, how can we do help? So this one doesn't really explain the thing. Yeah? To help those in distress, in poverty, or in illness, and let alone save and transform them spiritually. So this materialistic thing, you cannot say they are an illusion. You cannot say they are made up of four elements and all those things. So that one is when you insight into phenomena, you realize their universal characteristic. It doesn't mean that all these are empty, then you forget about it. It's like you think everything is anatta, he know you, he know me. Then how come there is such thing as karma? How come the court can actually prosecute you and charge you and send you to prison? Because this is society's law. It is part of that, what they call society's evolved type of law. It may not be nature's law, but there is still such a thing as the law. It can be the law of nature, society's law, or whatever tradition you may be in. So all this understanding are very vital for you to really understand life. So when it comes to materialistic thing, wealth or whatever, you need to look at it with the understanding that these are dependent originating entity or phenomena. They arise because they are conditioned for them to arise, and you can use them. So you can have them, own them, possess them, but don't attach and cling on to them. Use them for the good of the many, including yourself and your loved ones. Yeah. So all this understanding must match. Otherwise, you apply Dhamma in a very confused manner, then it becomes like very contradictory. Like a lot of people say, hey, in that case, when we go and commit crime, then the police catch us, then they charge us, then the court say we are guilty, and we say, no, I am anatta, I don't exist. So when I don't exist, how can I kill? You say like that, really, you hope for your best. Then the law is not going to recognize all this nonsense that you say, because the Dhamma way is different from what your mundane mind is telling you, the thought is telling you. That one is knowledge. That one is the egoic mind with its sankhara activity, with its idea, views and opinion. That one is not the ultimate law or truth that people rely on. Okay, I read on. Nevertheless, when people suffer from a disaster, do we only give them materialistic aid? Is it enough to just provide food and shelter to disaster victims? No, it is not. We must go a step further to awaken their wisdom and sow the seed of love in their heart. We must be aware that when we pass away, we cannot take anything with us except our karma. Karma means whatever wholesome karma or good karma. In fact, good and bad come along. But you have more and more of this wholesome and good karma, like you relieve suffering, help out in such a. This is what you will reap. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Zhong yin jie guo. Zhong san yin jie san guo. Zhong er yin jie er guo. So, my original teacher, Master Xuan Ho, he always cautioned the living being, is it? He said, all humanity or cultivator of the way, you must bear in mind this advice. Never plant the seed of evil and reap the fruit of evil. Means don't plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit. This is what karma is all about. So when you understand, you will be very mindful, aware, heedful. You will not allow the heedlessness to condition you into negativity. Where is your life? I believe nobody wants to suffer and become miserable or afflicted. So these are all the understanding. We must be aware that when we pass away, we cannot take along with us anything except our karma. So the karmic retribution we receive in this life are the result of the causes we have created in the past life. We must therefore plant the good karma, the karmic seed, in order to reap the blissful fruition in our future life. Therefore, while we help others, those who suffer, we also need to share our love with them. Not only can the rich contribute money, those who are not so well off can also contribute as well. When bits of contribution are pooled together, they are like the many droplets that form a river or a sea. The sea of merits contains the power of love from every individual. So your contribution can be in many forms. When you send your pure mind, the metta, that itself is wholesome. When you wish for their well-being, when you pray for better weather condition for other people's well-being, that itself is an act of wholesomeness, generosity, kindness. So sometimes you need not be there. You can contribute in many ways. Through your well-being, your well-wishes, you can evoke power of merits to bring about causes and conditions for things to turn around for the better. Then you can also, if you are not wealthy, just participate and help out through whatever means that you are able to. It's just like the famous Chinese proverb. Got money, donate money. No money, donate your effort and your strength. Yu qian, qiu qian. I think the Cantonese one sound better. Yao qin, qiu qin, yao li, qiu li. So you have the money, you contribute because you can afford it, you have the means. But you don't have the money, you contribute your ability to help, means effort, your strength, or whatever. So all this can actually bring about the whole of the success in that particular project or relief suffering activity. So if you go out as a volunteer, you can also maybe in charge of logistics, you can also help in charge of planning, in charge of steering the volunteer to all their various activity and guiding them. And some, they go down and really do the work, carry all the things, and provide all the idea to mitigate whatever encounter they have. Sometimes when you want to send things, relief, materialistic goods or thing into a relief center or a place where disaster has happened, it's not easy, especially during crisis, tsunami, earthquake or what, or very severe hurricane and weather. The transportation may not be straightforward. Then sometimes the people there already so miserable. The access is a problem. The weather condition, the wind condition is a problem. So not easy. So they have to actually maneuver their way through. They have to find solution as and when it happens. So because of their very well organized organization, Suchi, and also the very experienced type of leaders that they have, it seems like also they have this training center. One of them is in Malacca where they train volunteers to do all this, to be leaders and all those things. And their training are really very professional, very, very top grade type of training. That's why it's not what they call like you simply organize and just go. No, these are very well evolved plannings, training. They have experienced it for so long and they have good experience. Then they come out with all this very good training and prepare their people. So these are well organized organization that have the logistic, the means, and even the people to do all this relief work. Because to do relief work is not easy. Yeah? And sometimes it's overseas condition can be very tough, very demanding and difficult. So all this, if we can have the opportunity to understand and witness, you should actually send your love, your metta, and do your part to contribute wherever there is condition. Okay, I will continue from where we stopped. The sea of merits contains the power of love from every individual. Okay, that one we covered. There are many examples of individuals who need support and a warm embrace to see the glimpse of hope. After they have received help to resettle their life, they too can help others. Although their donation may be small, the love they bring forth creates immense merit. Some of these impoverished people joyfully say, I am not just an aid recipient, because now I also help others. So some seniors living in nursing home, although their room and board are covered, they live on a tight budget with meager social welfare as supplement income. However, they still donate generously. They say that they are content as long as Suchi volunteers visit them often and give them the spiritual support. So this is how you can make people happy, make people feel the joy and that they are not being neglected. Because a lot of these senior citizens or people, somehow because of their karmic background, their children, grandchildren or loved ones, they neglect them. Then sometimes they just let them go their own way. But some, maybe they arrange for them to go to old folks' home and certain type of home where they can be taken care of. But not all are fortunate. Some are left to rot in the slum and all those things. So Suchi has helped a lot of all this. They have gone down to the ground and do the survey. I heard Christina said, then if you are entitled, they will come and support you, then visit you often, then help you to clean up, sometimes bathe for them, then make sure that they are okay, especially when there is this climatic disaster or very heavy storm and rain. They will visit all these people because most of these are staying in the slum, squatter area, temporary housing and all those things. So during a heavy rain, the whole temporary shed may be swept away. And a lot of them suffer. So these are the things that they will uncover. Then they sometimes share with us. Then they also have photographs to show us how bad it has affected people and their life. So when you understand all this, your heart really feel for the living beings. There is love. There is compassion. Then you will really want to try your best to play your role. But as cultivator, we will also know everyone, they have their own karma. So suffering beings are all over the world. How many can you save and how many can you help? So it all depends on karmic conditioning. When there is condition to help, you will manifest. Yeah. So try not to be a good-hearted fool, thinking that everywhere you must go and help. unless your heart is very big, unless you really have that type of nature, then it's different. It's different. Otherwise, you must know your limitation, and you must know the nature's law, the law of karma. Sometimes, a lot of things are karmic. Unless there is condition, nothing can be done. If you force yourself to do it, you suffer because there is delusion. You become good-hearted fool. Then sometimes when people see that it's so easy to make money from all these good-hearted fool, they actually plan all this out of seeing the easy way out. They will pretend and prey on your compassion, then they deceive you. So it creates karmic too. Because by doing that, the person who deceives a cultivator or a genuine generous person, they will have very severe negativity of karma. So instead of creating all this, you try to avoid the condition so that all these people who has the negative mental intention to cheat and to deceive, they will not take advantage of the situation. Society is like that. If people find it very easy to take advantage of the situation of this good-hearted fool, then they will come up with the various type of pitiful type of story and cases. Then they go to every coffee shop, every table. Then they say donation, donation, relief suffering. But you don't know which is genuine and which is not genuine. So for me, if you are not sure, try not to encourage all this. Because there are many other ways of doing wholesomeness. So at one time, I remember at the coffee shop, too many of them. Until I think people start to realize all this, a lot of them are not genuine scam. Sometimes they tie out with all this supplier with goods that they cannot sell. Then they come and sell through all this and they make good money because it become like the cost maybe 1-2 ringgit or 2-3 ringgit at the most. They sell to you at 10 ringgit. Well, then you think, oh, okay, I help. But actually, you have to know the story behind. Because the story behind may be something else. So a lot of these people that are taught to push, they also have sales courses for them. Their story is, the more you push, the higher your commission is. And behind all this charity is all this type of thing, but you don't know. So I heard about a few cases in the early years, very early years, where I talked to some of these young people. I think they are still students. I say, how come there is a van that come and pick you all up on? Then how come you all can go around at the same time, lunchtime, to all the coffee shops? Then one of them, I think, explain to me. He said, we are trained. We are trained to go around. He said, you approach 100 people, you got 5 people buy from you. Good enough. He said, because we have the numbers. He said, and you must show your like pitiful way and what to say and get them to contribute or donate. So all this is scam that can arise. But you need to be very mindful. You need to actually understand all this yourself. Then you evolve your own understanding. And if possible, my advice is avoid encouraging all this. Otherwise, it becomes like a disease. Because so easy to scam people and make money. Then more and more people do this. They don't even want to work. Then sometimes you look at those beggars and what they come. Then after the round finish, you walk out, they actually change their clothing and take a taxi, go somewhere. Oh, they actually has money. But this is a good way of receiving donation and easy money. So when you unknowingly encourage all this activity, it actually can create unnecessary karmic conditioning. So be wise, yeah? Act with understanding. Mm. But don't go could me, yeah? But you will warn that no. It's to develop deeper understanding, because doing good is good, is wholesome. But if you do good because you have this thought that you must help, you can end up as a good hearted fool, because you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to understand the situation behind. Mm-hmm. And all this can lead to stupidity towards the end. Mm-hmm. But if you have already given, don't worry. Huh? Given means given. How they scam and do all those things is their karma, nothing to do with you. But if you encourage all this, there is also coming implication. Yeah? So you need a balance of understanding, wisdom, and good nature, good heart. Yeah? So all this is part and parcel of cultivation, the Dhamma way. So you have to learn all this, yeah? So that you can become a better cultivator than a better Buddhist, in the sense that you can really contribute to society, to humanity, and to the world. Mm. Okay, we move on. Yeah? A church volunteer asks one such senior, how are you supporting yourself when you donate all your money? And this one is a good case study. He replied happily, don't worry. It makes me happy that even someone like me can help the poor and contribute to international relief. Even though they live a simple life, their hearts are full of love and Dhamma joy. The rich create blessing by doing relief work, and they also provide opportunity for the poor to contribute what they can to help others, allowing them to plant the seed of blessings in their consciousness, which enriches their wisdom and happiness. This is how Tsuchi developed from educating the rich to help the poor, to give aids to the poor and help them become spiritually rich or wealthy. In the Tsuchi world, the ultimate goals of educating the rich to help the poor and aiding the poor and helping them to become spiritually rich are the same: to bring forth the love for all people. Today, there are hundreds of millions of people on the brim of starvation, and a great number of and a great many people who are spiritually poor. How do we spread the seed of love to bring out everyone's inner love? This is what we must strive to accomplish from now on. Each of us has the same love. We should unite this love to care for others and cultivate a selfless heart. Only when we pave the road with love will we attain true happiness. Good. So at least we end. Just now, what was it? The Ingby wrote on, is it? Oh. Is what?
Yeah.
There is a message from Ingby which is very good, but it's in Mandarin. I need my wife to read it out. Wait.
助人为快乐之本
How many meaning?
The sources of happiness.
Oh, yeah. So, Amy has written this, which is very good. Huh? Oh, 助人了,助人. So, it's the same meaning as when you help others, it gives you happiness, joy. It's a source of happiness. So we should thank him here for forwarding that. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we are more or less finished for that chapter. So we still have some time. Maybe today we will spend more time on meditation. So we stop here. So that the next chapter is page 119, Transcending Religious Barrier. So that one is a totally new topic. So maybe for today we will end here. Then we will have our meditation. Maybe today 45 minutes. You can have more time for your meditation. So now we will off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of silent awareness based meditation. So as usual, to meditate is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down. Then stay with the silent, the self-awareness nature. Stay with your true mind without thought. Stabilize it. Maintain awareness. Whatever happened, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Thought arise, let it arise. Let it slow down and settle down. You don't give it any more heedless thinking, or you don't get yourself entangled with it, and you assist. So when you meditate, you just the four support, relax, maintain awareness, then 24 hours to stabilize the awareness. Then for those who can detect the gateway, you can go for the fourth support, trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Don't apply the thought. Don't direct. Don't focus. Don't concentrate. Don't even try to know. Just let it be. Then the awareness that stabilize and develop can understand many things. That is the one that can develop the understanding and awakening. That is the meditative mind. The silent mind, the true mind, that nature within, that awareness nature within, that is the source of wisdom energy, with clarity, understanding. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to carry on with your daily life, so that in the midst of life you can be mindful. So the daily mindfulness is very important, and to stabilize the daily mindfulness you need to do your own daily religious routine training. So that daily religious routine training normally consists of morning, early morning when you wake up, you do your puja, meditate, and renew your precept, share merit, transfer merits. Then after that, you maintain daily mindfulness on whatever you need to do. Then be aware throughout the day. Then when you go to your altar, pay respect. Before you leave your house, pay respect. When you come back, pay respect. Then maintain mindfulness. Then towards the end of the day, before you sleep, again you do your puja and you meditate. Then mindfully go to sleep. You can do this continuously. Your meditation and daily mindfulness will stabilize. They will bring forth a good result. And in between, if you have your lunch break or early lunch, you can also meditate, especially those who work for government. Friday, you have long lunch break. So after your early lunch, you can rest then meditate. Whenever you have free time, relax body and mind, silent, and develop the meditation so that your mind can enter sati. When the mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness become different. You will naturally become mindful throughout the day. That after mind enters sati, your mind is in sati throughout the day. So everything you do is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Seeing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness is all in sati. Then when you come out of formal meditation, you realize all your activity and movement, the awareness and the activity, they move as one. That is kayanupassana. Then when you stretch your hand, you realize the awareness of it. Then every small movement or activity is like magnified. And you become sensitive, mindful, aware. You hardly think. That should be your mind state. This is what heedful living is all about. So when your daily mindfulness is very stable, your mind is very different. Most of the time, it's just aware, mindful. It hardly thinks. So daily mindfulness is most important. You need to stabilize it. You need to really arise it until throughout the day you are mindful, heedful. Okay, now we will go on to our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have with regards to the teaching or the meditation or how to apply what you have learned, the Dhamma way, to help you solve your life situation or problem. Okay, we'll open it up.
Ready to?
Yeah.
Pradio 不是有 share 一个将跟着年龄的增长，智慧跟着增长。
Oh yeah 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 yeah. The one I send to my Kayamita. Okay, good. Do you all receive this one? Yeah. You have at your command the wisdom of ages. Yeah. The Mandarin word I don't know how to read. I need my wife. Can you magnify a bit? See?
Okay. Yeah.
你的智慧随着年龄的增长。But the English translation is different. You have your command, at your command, the wisdom of ages. It is supposed to be the Mandarin word up there. But the English word up there. So down there, the Mandarin word, the meaning is different. You say, your wisdom actually follow your ages. That is the wrong translation. The English meaning is very deep. You have at your command the wisdom of ages. So this one was because yesterday, I think my sister's children, they were actually with me, and having a discussion with my daughter. So they somehow took out a slip that's like supposed to have advice. Yeah, the cookie, fortune cookie, where they got this saying for the individual. So they have their various saying. Then I recall when I was in Fakusana, this Zheng Yan Fasi many years back, we went to our Taiwan trip. So It so happened when we were there, we were also given this what they call cookie thing, where the message inside. So I went in and pay respect, then I took my cookie. Then I opened up, I saw that message which I showed it to them. Then I decided to forward it to the Maitreya Mitra today so that people can recall that incident. Then I was so surprised because how come got this type of message? You have at your command the wisdom of ages, means that wisdom that is developed and evolved over a long period of cultivation and ages, means at any one time my nature can command them, means it has them. So this one happened to be the one that came to me. So a lot of things in life you may not know and you may not understand. Then sometimes all this is not for you to like believe that all these are true. No, it is not everybody with the cookie paper will have the right message. No, sometimes it's very strange. When you have that nature, things happen. Then when you have those things, it will match. Like in the early days, I remember I went for a dinner, I think. It was a company bought the ticket, two tables. They call it the Institution of Engineers Northern Branch. So at that time, I just came out to work, my first job. Then I was at the site, actually quite busy. Then my office called me, say they are leaving the office already, the accountant, Leong Tai. He said, I have to pass you the ticket, he said, Mr. Teo. And I don't want to go to the site, where I don't know how to go to your site, he said. So I said, okay, then I will come back and collect, then I will go later. So I came back to the office, I collect. Then he's supposed to give me 20. Then I say I will be late. Oh, in that case, I say I give you 2, me and my assistant. Then the rest of the 18 tickets, he said he will help me to distribute to the people there, including some of the government servants that we need to do some PR, who actually we invited them. So, oh, because of the extra ticket, we actually allocate for them. So after I went back to the site, I clear up my thing. I think by about near to 6:45, I finished. Then I told my assistant, we have to go. Then he said, okay. So both of us went straight. We didn't even go back and take a hot bath because it was in the Penang Island. So we had to cross the ferry and go to a restaurant. So when I was there, we were late. We came in. But it's just before the thing start, I think. It's supposed to start at about 7:30, but it's something ready. I think the key person hasn't arrived. So we managed to reach there at about near to 8, I think. So they told us there's a lucky draw. You must drop your ticket there. So take the slip and drop there. Then I think they mix it up. So the funny thing is, you never expect, when the lucky draw starts to draw, it's almost 100 table that night, about 1,000 or more people. As they draw, all the consolation prize, all the other prizes came out. Then left with the last two, first and second prize. Then when they draw that lot, the second prize was mine. So I somehow sensed it that we were strike. Then it really came out. Then when it came out, my accountant said, wow, you are so lucky. Then I went and collected the prize. Then after the first prize, I tell you, nobody really can expect. It came to my assistant. The two ticket I have was first prize and second prize. Then the accountant, the Leong Tai, wow, couldn't believe it. He said, where got such thing in life? And he said, I only give you two tickets. I took 18 tickets. And first and second prize went to you. So according to her, it's like, if that two ticket went to her, she would have got first and second prize. But I told her, it's not like that. Whatever that is meant to be, it will be. If it's yours, it will be yours. If it's not yours, you take all the 20 tickets also, none of them materialize. So a lot of things in nature, when it happens, is for you to witness, for you to understand that when you have the parami, when you have the wisdom and the understanding, a lot of things will go your way. So this particular message that came from the cookie draw, I decided to keep it because the English meaning was very deep. And deep in my nature, I knew it's like telling me that this is what your nature is. You came with this. And my nature also knew this life I come is to share the wisdom. That's why it said my nature command the wisdom of all the ages. So all this are something that you will develop the understanding as a cultivator. So this is the part that I hope can give rise to faith to people, especially Kaya Metta. So you can have the understanding to develop the faith. You may experience your own uniqueness or your own nature later on when you connect. And each and every one of us is different. We have our nature, we have our karmic past. And like I said, for you to have the condition to be born during the Buddha Sasana, and also to encounter the teaching. And the most important is this life during the Buddha Sasana, to be born a human being with the condition to encounter the true Dhamma. You are indeed a unique being. You have your past. You have your affinity with the Triple Gem, with all the great beings. And all these teachings, they are available. And you can really learn them, develop them. Then if you have the strong faith, resolve, sincerity and understanding, and you persevere, you cultivate, you will transform and you will connect. Then you will start to understand your nature and you will start to have a good understanding of what this teaching is all about. So this is what that message is meant for. So with that explanation, hopefully you all can develop the faith and the understanding. Okay, yeah. So Alicia, is it okay? So the Mandarin one was not so accurate, the translation. No wonder just now when you read the Mandarin, I don't really get you, until when my daughter told me that message and I recall. Then when I asked my wife to read on it, I realized the Mandarin word translation is different. Oh, Suyan, you have something to say? My daughter say you unmute just now. Is it Suyan? Suyan, are you there? Never mind. Anybody wants to report the meditation? Or ask something related to Dhamma or meditation? Ah, Engbi, yes, yeah. Sadhyok Engbi, yeah. Yeah, you can come in, Engbi, here. Yeah. Unmute already. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can. Yes.
Can,
Loud and clear. Yes.
I it's not a meditation reporting, but it's more like because the other day I watched the Selangor Yi Vesak celebration, and then I share it in the my Karya Mita
group. Yes. I saw that.
I would like to share what I experienced when I was watching it.
That's good.
It is especially when this Zhi Chen Fa Si was writing the Sufa.
Sufa. I remember calligraphy.
He wrote the word Chan, no?
Yeah.
When I was watching when he was writing it, it's after that only I think it is some kind of direct seeing for me lah. The moment he hold the two brushes to make it very thick words. The chan is very thick.
Correct.
From the point he started writing until the end, I was like, cannot breathe. I don't realize my breathing at all. Just follow whatever
mindfully aware.
The awareness and whatever phenomena was really together.
Sadhu, yes. Means that nature at that time, that is the direction. Yes, very true. Sadhu to you.
So after that only I realized,
what happened?
I don't even realize my own breathing. I don't even realize what he was talking, because he was talking, narrating at the other side. I was fully
aware
together with the phenomena.
Yes, your nature and that thing move as one. That is the most beautiful state to be in. That is your true nature. Later on, as your daily mindfulness stabilizes and your nature that open up and stabilize, you can be in that state throughout the day. That is beautiful. So for most people, it's certain moment, certain period of cultivation. Then all of a sudden it will come. Then when it will come, you will have the understanding after that. After that, you will understand what that nature is and how beautiful that nature is, that awareness nature that is fully aware of the movement activity. You can recall that last time I shared this. After my mind transformed, after I developed the stability of wisdom, then one day I was looking at the TV. Then I realized I'm not like a normal person watching TV. The whole TV movement, all the pixel and the lighting and all those things, even whatever movement and activity inside there, like my whole nature one with it. Just one with it. No matter how fast that movement is just there. Then after that I realized, everything I come to pursue also like that, the awareness and the phenomena is one. Then there is no thought, nothing one. Then I later realized, if I want to know, I can know. If I don't want to know, I just maintain awareness and continue. They're fully aware, that whole movement and activity. So it's similar to your calligraphy, where at that time, your awareness and the thing move as one, and that is very beautiful to experience. That means you have the stability of mindfulness to do that already. Then after that, if you continue and persevere, your daily mindfulness will stabilize very fast. I believe by now your daily mindfulness should be very, very stable and good. Otherwise you cannot see that. Then later on you can understand many things. Then you will come to realize another unique thing. You have less and less thinking after that. And you are able to be mindful most of the time, not only with that calligraphy phenomena. Later on, whatever you want to be aware, it can just be there. But initially, it's like it happened once. Then if you go back to your thought and want to repeat it, then it becomes something else already, very difficult to realize. You just let things be. Yeah. Just maintain your faith, your sincerity, your perseverance, and do your routine and continue your daily mindfulness and your cultivation. Then it will keep on appearing after that. It will keep on arising until it becomes a part of you. Then you will know what that thing is. Then your cultivation will transform. After that, you become very different. Then the stability of it is very important. Don't try to like be complacent. Then after that, think you already have done it. Then you go back to your normal way of living life. And that one will be a stage where it will retard you. It will prevent you from progressing. Then you may not go into it deep. So when this thing happens, you have to continue. Do not be complacent. The word is do not be complacent. Continue with the training until that one becomes very stable, becomes a part of you. It's just like when we play a game or when you cultivate certain skill. You have to develop it until it becomes a part of your nature. Like badminton, my best analogy is badminton, where I do it very well. Then cycling also same, driving motorbike also same. You become so skillful until you cannot forget how to actually hold that racket and flick and do all those strokes. I remember after I was 30 years old, I decided to give up badminton and I hang up my racket. Then later on, almost 20 years later, I want to exercise. Then I took out the racket. Then I realized my stroke is still there. My flick is still there. Everything is still there. Yeah, I have done it until the skill is, it has become a part of me. And at any one time I hold it, I will know how to swing, flick, and do all the same. But of course, you all do not have the same type of stamina, because stamina you have to train. Then to go back to that skillfulness to be at that time, the peak, you need to train. Yeah? But body is still a body. It has its limitation and all those things. So all this you will understand, you will know. So in a way, that mindfulness and awareness is still the same. And you cultivate until it's so stable, it becomes a part of you until the mind enters the deep. Then it's no more a question of falling back. You have reached a point where you cannot actually fall back. Means that thing has become part of your nature. Means the awareness is with you already. Whatever you do, you are in that state of awareness. And you clearly understand what the awareness nature is. So that is where cultivator need to understand. Otherwise, when you have a glimpse of it, actually you have the understanding already, but not stable, not deep. So when it's not stable, not deep, it's like you have a glimpse. A glimpse means you are on the correct path. You have actually done it correctly. But to stabilize it is to realize the function of it. That's why maga, pala. Pala is the stability of it and the fruition of it, means it becomes the fruit. After that, you understand completely, means stable already. So after the path, when you realize fruition, it gives you the stability or understanding to express that phase of Dhamma or that stage of Dhamma that you have realized. Like as a sotapan, you will understand what the first three factors is. Of course, Sakkayaditi is the main one. Then faith in the triple gem, unshakable. Then rite and ritual can no longer delude you and all those things. You will understand all these things very clearly. Then you can explain and you can express it out. That is the stability of it and the fruition of it. And it's always with you. That's why wisdom cannot be taken away. When the form and mind realize it, awaken to it, it will be there in your nature, connected to the form and mind. That's why when you encounter a thing, you know what to do. You know how to act. So all this will come along with it. So we really rejoice. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So thank you so much, Amy, for that good sharing. Anything else you want to
add? Thank you, sadhu.
Sadhu.
When he was writing the Heart Sutra also,
yes.
The moment he wrote also, like totally I'm absorbed together with him because he is fully concentrating also.
Yeah.
And then the way he write, oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, you can sense his movement. Then your awareness is with that activity, that phenomena, that movement. That is most beautiful. Because as a Chinese educator, you can appreciate this thing more. Then calligraphy, you have the interest and the understanding, you appreciate it a lot. So a lot of people actually make use of calligraphy to develop their mindfulness and their awareness. The other one is Po Yan Zhang Lao. Oh, his calligraphy is also very unique, very superb and beautiful. So he also liked to express the Dhamma in his calligraphy. So calligraphy is
because during what he was doing, I really cannot understand. I cannot hear. My mind is totally on the writing. I don't know what he was talking.
No,
I had to go back. I had to go back and listen to what he was talking. In fact, very good. He was telling about Liu Zhu, Chan Zhong, everything.
Yes.
Very good. I hope other Kalyamita can have a listen. Hearing of what he was talking also.
Yeah. So no need to know. What you did was beautiful. Because if you can know means you are not fully aware. When you are not knowing means you are fully aware. You are with that phenomenon, one with it. And that one is not easy to realize. Yeah. For you to have that ability, you have really developed it well. Salute to you.
Thank you, Sadhu,
Bhadio.
Okay, that's all I would like to share.
Thank you for your good sharing. And also the good question by Alicia. Okay, anybody else?
Hello, Bhadio.
Yes, Sadhu.
Yes, Amitofo.
Amitofo.
Bhadio and all Kayanamitas.
Yeah, Sadhu.
Yeah,
nice to hear from you again,
Pujay. just want to talk a little bit about this about emotions. Actually, I had this encounter that is very interesting also. During daily, in the daytime.
Yeah.
As I interact with my family members, right?
I can
feel. I don't know how you say this, but I can feel their emotion, you know.
Yes, because now you have the ability, because your awareness nature has stabilized, has become different. So you are very sensitive. You can feel them.
Yes.
You can sense them.
I don't know. Is this a vibration or is it
It's a mixture. Because the awareness that is able to be aware, they are very sensitive. So most of these people with emotion, they send out a type of vibration.
But
your wisdom energy and the understanding can sense them and feel them, but you are sensitive.
I can feel them from afar that something is troubling them or something is not right.
Yeah.
Then when I test it out, and then when I say something positive to give them the good emotion, then it changes, you know, I can sense them.
Completely change, yes.
Yes. Wow, yes. I say so amazing, huh?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, last time I also tested it. I can sense like that when somebody is having a lot of fear, anxiety, then moody, unhappy.
Yeah.
You can sense them, and especially those suffering ones, you really can sense them. Then sometimes they just walk into the house, you already know that this person is like having problem. Especially people who are depressed, the vibration is different. Then later on, when you travel, you also will become very sensitive. You can sense many things. That time, not only negative emotion, very strong positive spiritual energy or vibration, you can detect also. Then whenever you interact with people, like you say, family members, or even the public or what, you can sense them. Sometimes cultivator with that nature around, you will know. You straight away can sense. Then you know around you, there is some cultivator, or at least one cultivator. Well, when I travel on spiritual trip, my nature can sense. Then I used to tell certain kayamita, I think I told Yun Chan one or twice. Then sometimes on the plane, you can also feel. Then sometimes before you land, you can also feel. That's why your nature becomes sensitive when you have that stability of mindfulness and awareness within. Our nature is very beautiful. When you are able to tap into it and be with it, that vibration inside, that wisdom, energy and understanding is so sensitive, so different. Then sometimes even they think you are asleep, but you are actually fully aware. Then when you are in the oneness state, spacious awareness without a center, you can be aware of very far distant phenomena or thing. Then sometimes you can sense certain thing coming, pending. That like the signal, the sign, they can come to you and you can sense them. Then you know something is going to happen. But of course, some people call it the sixth sense, intuition and all the thing, or intuitive nature. It could be because other people, one is some are maybe gifted, or sometimes the message is from the devas or what. But ours one is different. Ours one is the cultivator that has the ability to develop this stability of mindfulness, awareness, nature within. And that one is very different. That one comes with the wisdom energy, the understanding. So very good, Po Ching. Sadhu to you. Anything else that you experience?
So it's very interesting. Actually, like you said, the public also, I also want encounter with the public. Just a cashier, you know. I can sense her happiness, you know. When she's talking, you know, I said, what is this, you know? I can sense the emotion from her, you know.
Correct.
Although she wasn't really talking then, but when I say something to her emotion, I can feel it, you know. Very interesting. I thought it was very interesting. Then another one, like you say, when asleep, right?
Yeah.
I haven't got this opportunity before, but this is my first opportunity. When I awake from my sleep, right?
Yes.
The first thing I feel is the heart.
Yeah.
The heart, you know. Right. Yeah, you say, hey, how come my heart so clear to me? I'm sleeping, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so always it was like, at the heart, yeah. Always.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the first time I was like so fully aware of the heart when I wake up from my sleep, you know.
Yeah. Because when you are asleep, you are actually the nature meditating. That's why when you wake up, you straight away aware at the heart there. Most people wake up, they become conscious. They are not aware. Conscious, and their consciousness is groggy. Then they went to their head and they try to recall what they need to do. But for a cultivator like you and a few of us, when we wake up, the first thing is aware. And when we are aware, if we already develop our nature very stable, the awareness is always from that nature. So we always aware from the heart. Then even when you rest to recuperate and to meditate, you will always stay at the heart there. Then your heart will be like your home base. Because that is where the gateway is, the source of the life force, the seat of consciousness. So from there, everything arises. Then you will understand that nature more and more, more and more, more and more, which is very good. Sadhu, very good.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. It was like so interesting that maybe I did meditate or what, I wasn't very sure.
No,
I say,
you are meditating, well, your nature is meditating when you're asleep. Well, when we have the ability to penetrate the gateway, most of the time it's meditating inside there. Whenever you like decide to just let the awareness go off and sleep, that nature inside will move. Because when the mandema is not interfering, the nature do its work. And that's the reason why it actually nourish all the whatever organ that it need to nourish. And it will do its routine. Well, this is the life force energy, the nature's energy. Then when you wake up, you have clarity, you feel fresh, and you are just aware. Then like you have rested very long. So it's like somebody with very good sleep, hardly any dreams or whatever. So all this become possible when we have developed the stability of mindfulness and awareness, and our nature has that ability to stay in that state for a long period of time. So this is what awareness-based meditation is all about. It will transform the individual. Then the individual can have a lot of ability which normal people don't have. And this is not psychic. This is the ability to sense, to be mindful, to be aware, to understand, to awaken, and to see things clearly, differently. So all these are the, what they call, result of that type of meditation and training. You will continue to go through and experience many more things, which is very going to be very beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Theo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, we rejoice in your good sharing also. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Oh, today very good. At least three person ask question and share. Anybody else? Report meditation, anybody?
Matthew,
yeah, English, yes.
One more thing, can I? Yeah. I think this is reporting.
Can, no problem.
During sitting meditation, especially when, I can't remember when, but a few times already.
Yeah.
When started to rain,
and
the roof, receiving the raindrops, very loud. Single raindrop,
yes,
pop, and then after some time, pop again.
Yeah.
And then after some time, pop again. The moment I heard the first or second or third, I just understand that it's anicchang. It's like starting and ending together.
Yes.
Pop.
You will have the ability.
And then pop. It's appearing and stopping
at
the same time. I just don't know how to say it. It's just like that. Then a few times, because nowadays,
very often. Yeah.
And then, so I keep on catching.
You just relax and silent and maintain awareness. Then one day you will trigger something else. Then you will go through. Then you will understand. What you have realized and initially awakened to is that one that can link you to the understanding of impermanent, which is the beginning, the truth happening. So all these phenomena, they can actually after a while suddenly trigger on, and the understanding will become very penetrative after that. So the initially one also good. Also good. It will let you have the understanding of this universal characteristics or anicca in a very much different and deeper manner. But the penetrative one will arise when there is a sudden awakening. In fact, all this, like you remember in the sutta, this Metta Sutta, remember? This group of monks, they went to the forest to meditate after the Buddha advised them. Then they meditate, but they have trouble with the non-human there because initially the devas invited them. Then they realized that they are not leaving until the end of Vasa. So they got no choice. They, I think, were like disturbed by all this non-human until the monk also panicked. Then they went back. Then as they went back, I think on the way, they met out with this heavy downpour, the rain. The heavy downpour. Then this rain, the bubble that popped on the surface of the ground, led to the conditioning for all the monks to have the ability to actually develop the awakening. And just like how they describe it in the sutta, it's just like when you heard that thing, this one they see it. Yours is through hearing. That one, those monks, is I think they see it. But I forgot whether they are from the Metta Sutta or what, I forgot already. They came back because of something, then they saw this. Then the Buddha knew condition is ready for them to develop the awakening and the understanding. Then all of a sudden, the awakening happened and the Dhamma arise. Then I was, if I'm not wrong, I think, don't know how many monks, they all become Arahant. They all become Arahant at that moment, at that instant. So this very heavy rain, because when it hit the ground, like you describe, it like burst off. Yeah. Then they saw all phenomena are like that. Condition arising, dependent originating. Then they come and they go. Then every moment, every instant is like that because they were completely silent and just aware. Then that nature will awaken. That's why our awareness nature has that ability. So when you meditate, when you have affinity with those phenomena, you will know one. Then you will detect it, or you will start to pick it up. Then your ability to actually observe the calligraphy all shows that the condition has arisen for you to experience more and more of this. And very fast, very soon, it will trigger off. Things will happen. And when it trigger off, only your form and mind will understand. Then there is a lot of joy. Then your understanding becomes very different, very penetrative. Then it's not only that phenomenon, no. It is across all phenomena. Last thing happened to me is one of my teacher moved the hand. Then I awakened straight away. Then of course the loud rain on also, I experienced them during the meditation, during the early days. Yeah, I love this awning sound and all those things. Then when I was in the meditative state, that clarity, that understanding, that's why my nature also went through all those phases. Then it developed the understanding on its own. And now that you have the condition to experience it and describe it, it's very good. That's why I can rejoice and share all this with you. And the rest of the Kayamita can also learn and develop the ability to understand the power of mindfulness. When you stabilize your mindfulness and awareness, you can experience all these things, which is very unique and very beautiful. Sadhu to you, Amy. Thank you.
Sadhu, thank you, Radio.
Yeah, sadhu.